Next is the Gospel reading from St. Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high mountain and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Here ends our text. What a relief those mall maps, or now GPS devices, are that tell you where you are. If you don't know where you are, your next step may be away from the store you came into the mall through. Or if you're outdoors, your next step might be off of a cliff. Today, on this first Sunday in Lent, this text tells us, you are here. Really? When's the last time you were tempted to make bread from stones? When's the last time the devil said if you'd worship him, he would give you all the authority and splendor of the world's kingdom? When's the last time you struggled with whether or not to throw yourself off of a cliff so the angels could catch you? So, maybe you're not here after all. No, you are here. These are your temptations that Jesus is facing. Jesus being tempted to turn stones into bread is you being tempted to fulfill the legitimate needs of your flesh and blood by illegitimate ways. It's the temptation to find happiness, fulfillment, peace in food or drink. It's the temptation to find love and companionship in sex outside of marriage. It's the temptation to find peace of mind in what you do or don't do rather than in the promises and mercies of God. Yes, you are here. Your temptations of the flesh are here, and so are your temptations in the world. Hasn't the devil come to you with the Faustian deal of your soul for the world's happiness, riches, honor, glory? Don't be content with the path the Lord has you on or your place in life. Don't be content with the legitimate ways God enriches your life. What you need is more money, a better house, a different job. What you need is whatever the world is waving before you. And you are here, suffering this last, worst temptation of all, the temptation about faith. If you really believe, you will do this or that. If you had enough faith, you would do that or this. On and on this temptation goes. If you really are a Christian, if you really are a believer, if you really are forgiven, on and on it goes till all you can see is you and all that you are not. Then faith has changed from the means of receiving things from God to a power to be exercised. Then faith is emptied of Jesus and filled with how certain you feel. You are here in this desert, face to face with the devil, who is pulling all of his temptations out of his bag. Temptations of the flesh, temptations of the world, temptations of even the faith. But you're here for more than the battle, you're here for the victory. And where is the victory? Well, in the Word. Three times Jesus parries the devil's thrust by quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus doesn't simply say the first two times, "It is written." No, this is a Greek perfect. It should be translated, "It has been written, and it is in it forever stands." This word of God was true when it was written, it is true now, and it's going to be true forever. Jesus was really hungry. His flesh really needed food, even as your body has legitimate needs. But Jesus took his stand on a word God had written 1,500 years before. Man does not live by bread alone. That was true when God spoke it, and it will be true into eternity. Is that how you use the Word of God? Do you use it as an absolute authority? Do you use it as the power to fight off temptations? Do you regard the word as absolutely true, correct, and right? Jesus did. When the devil tempted him to gain the whole world, not by suffering and dying, but by worshiping him, Jesus finished the discussion with, "It has been written, and it still stands true today and forever. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." You are here. This is your battle. Are you learning anything? Notice how after Jesus counters with two citations of God's word as still being true and powerful today, the devil parries with one of his own. Luther called this the white devil, since he cites scripture. And he does it just the way Jesus does. The devil too says, "It is written and forever stands true." What are you going to do now? Do you think anyone who cites scripture has got to be right? No, the devil himself can do that. Jesus knocks the sword of the scriptures out of the devil's hand with, "It says." Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus doesn't say this time, "It is written," but "It says." And this too is a perfect. So it's correctly translated, "It has been said, and it still says today, and it's going to say forever, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Here Jesus uses the word as the living, sharp, two-edged sword that it is. He won't let the devil silence him by appealing to Scripture, but knows that God forever says it's never right to put his promises to the test. Are you really here? Here is your victory over the temptations of the devil, the eternally true, powerful Word of God. All you have to do is go out from here using the Word, and victory is yours. That's true, but you'd be a fool to try. Perfect Eve in the Garden of Eden wielded the sword of God's Word, and with a few quick thrusts, the devil knocked it out of her hand and stabbed her with it. Our victory is here, but it's not in our using the written word of God, but in the word made flesh, Jesus. This is what we sing in "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." We sing that nowhere on earth is the devil's equal. We sing that with might of ours cannot be done. We sing that the devils fill the world, all eager to devour us. We sing that the devil is the prince of this world. Then after all this talk about the devil and his power, we sing, "One little word can fell him." But this word is not our citing of the scriptures. It's not our use of the scriptures. It's not our unsheathing the sword of the scripture. No, the word is a he. After singing how one little word can fell the devil, the hymn continues, "The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit." Yes, you are here in this desert. These are your temptations that Jesus goes up against, and you are here for the victory. But it's in Jesus' correct use of scripture, not in yours. Your victory is in the word made flesh, not in your ability to use the written word. Galatians 4 says that Jesus, God the Son, was born under the law to redeem those under the law. The second person of the Holy Trinity could crush the devil and all of his demons with no effort, as he will finally do on the last day. He will speak a word and poof, they will all be gone. But in our text, Jesus is on the field of battle in our place. God's laws were given to men. We are obligated to keep them, even in the face of temptations. This we haven't done. This we can't do. Not even perfect Adam and Eve could. So Jesus is here in our place. If he doubts the promises of God once, he breaks the law. If he gives him to temptation for but a moment, game over. If he gives into the temptation of the flesh, the world, or the devil, then you can only go to heaven when you die if you have kept all of God's laws perfectly. But Jesus does not falter. Jesus does not slip. Jesus keeps all of God's laws perfectly, even in the face of great temptation. You are here. Jesus' victory over the devil, Jesus keeping the law, is for your sake. As true God, Jesus was not under any of the laws of God, so he became true man to take your place. Now when the devil comes at you demanding to know, what about this law? What about that broken commandment? What about this time you gave into temptation? Remember, you are here. You are here in the desert having kept God's law perfectly. And having remained faithful in every one of the devil's temptations. You did so in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't use any of his power he had as true God to remain faithful, so you could share in his victory. Jesus won our victory, not just by keeping the law of God that we break, but by paying for all that we have broken. You are here. You have given into the temptations of your flesh and sought to fulfill your legitimate needs by ways God has forbidden. You are here. You have made the Faustian deal and gave up your soul in an attempt to gain not the world, but just a tiny piece of it. You are here. You have sought for God to prove himself by doing something when and where you demanded. You are here, and you can't stay here under this sin, under this guilt, under God's heavy wrath and judgment. And you don't have to stay here. Jesus comes out of the wilderness having remained the perfect, sinless, holy man we need him to be. But he goes from here to the cross. He goes from here bearing the sins of every man, woman, and child, especially yours. He goes from here bearing your guilt of having given in to every single temptation. So though perfect, he goes from here under the wrath and judgment of God that we deserve. He goes bearing the shame. He goes bearing the pain. He goes bearing the sorrow that your sins deserve. He's going to go all the way to the cross where he'll pay the full price, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the world. He will give his life as a wrath-removing sacrifice for sins, and God will accept his suffering and death as payment in full for all sins. God the Father will show that he does by raising Jesus from the dead on Easter. The only reason Jesus died was to pay for our sins. Having done that, death could not hold God the Son. And where God the Son goes, the Son of Mary, Jesus, goes too. You are here on this first Sunday in Lent. Yes, that's right. You are here at Easter now. Don't think that's strange. The Sundays during Lent have never been counted as part of the 40 days. That's why they are called Sundays in Lent and not Sundays of Lent. You are here at Easter. Here Jesus preaches the forgiveness of your sins. Here Jesus preaches freedom from a guilty conscience. Here Jesus preaches the victory over sin, death, and the devil based on his keeping of the law and his paying for your sins. Sometimes it's not a relief to find you are here by a mall map or GPS. Sometimes you find yourself where you don't want to be, or far away from where you do want to be. It is an unqualified relief to find you are in a better place than you thought. And that's what you have found on this first Sunday in Lent. You are here in Easter. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.